Rasohom apsukunteya, prabhashmi shashishuryayo, pradavaksarvedeshu, shatdhati purushandeshu. If you can think of Krishna, then everything's okay. So, Krishna gives a lot of ways to think of him. In the Bhagavad Gita, rasoham apsu kunteya, which is, oh, son of Kunti, I'm the taste in water, and the light of the sun and the moon, I'm the syllable om and the Vedic mantras, the sound in ether, and ability in man. And whenever we remember Krishna, then our life is productive and happy, because we're parts and parcels of Krishna, and we're eternal servants of Krishna. And by serving Krishna, we feel happy and blissful. And this is universal. So it's a universal process. And it works everywhere, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. All you have to do is think of Krishna. And if you render some service to Krishna with your hands, or your legs, or your tongue, and your eyes, then immediately you're happy. And that's the whole philosophy in a nutshell. Do you have any questions? And we find that people are eager to give, that they find satisfaction in giving. That is, that when we give, we feel more whole, because that's our nature. We're givers. We like to give service. So we're happy when we give service. And when I get disconnected from my service, then I feel uncomfortable. And I feel dissatisfied. And even I can feel fear in my heart because of forgetting who I am. I'm something eternal and full of bliss and full of knowledge. And just by remembering that one thing, I can be happy any place, any time, anywhere. It doesn't matter what the circumstances externally are. I don't have to adjust anything externally. If I remember that I'm eternal and I'm a servant of Krishna, then immediately I'm happy. And that's the simple truth. And it's true everywhere. And so, Krishna consciousness, there's great service to be done. And there's a lot of good service to do in the world, lots of good causes. Everywhere there's good causes. Everywhere you look. Everyone has a good cause. But there's one really great cause. And that great cause is awakening Krishna consciousness in myself. One has to save oneself before one can save others. One has to have something to give before one gives to others. Doctors are told you have to be healthy and alive before you can treat others. Paramedics are told in the paramedic school that the dead paramedic can't save anyone. And it's amazing how much we can give when we have a service attitude. One person who develops in his or her heart a desire to serve others, to dedicate their lives to helping others, can change the whole world. An unselfish motive. Motive is everything, actually. What my motive is. When someone gives me a gift, don't I think afterwards, why did they do that? Do you think like that? Have you ever had an experience where someone gave you a gift and was completely unmotivated? They just gave it to you out of love. They didn't expect anything in return. Think back. Did you get one like that? A kind word? Someone gave you a kind word and it was just out of love or appreciation. Did you get that? And how did it make you feel? Hey, a cell phone. And that's not mine. Okay, when a cell phone goes off, you can pick one of these bags. Inside the bag, there are transcendental deities. The most beautiful deities in the world, the most merciful deities you'll ever see. They're deities in the form of transcendental knowledge that's descended from the spiritual world. And it's appeared here in the form of paper and ink. Previously, it was written down on palm leaves by hand. But now, because of the expedience given to us by modern technology, we have the same thing written down in this book form. And these are deities. Now, they're the best kind of deities because they go everywhere. They go into the halls of Congress. They go in people's homes and people's trailer parks. They go to foreign countries. And these deities they're fully sentient and independent. They can go everywhere. So again, please turn your cell phones on. One bag has... what does it have inside, Loka? What does one bag, the brown bag, have inside?
Oh, it has 20 meditation kits.
20 meditation kits inside. And one kit can do what? Can it do to a whole city? One meditation... Five little books, I understand, were smuggled into behind the Iron Curtain, when there was an Iron Curtain, in the engine of a car, because you'd be thrown in jail if you were caught taking the easy journey to other planets, into Russia at the time. But some brave devotees smuggled those books in. And guess what happened? The wall fell down. So these are transcendental little bombs in here. Don't say that as security at the airport. They take it seriously. And we take it seriously also. So it's kind of like, well, it's transcendental warfare. These are the WMD that everyone was looking for. So one bag has three little transcendental bombs inside. One, and there are how many bags inside the big bag?
20.
Okay. So you can each have one of those if you like. So I was saying about giving. Did you have an experience when someone gave you something and they were unmotivated? And how did it feel? She said wonderful. And what did it make you want to do? Anything? Someone gave you a smile. And then how did you feel? You felt wonderful, and then anything you could do afterwards? Smile back. Okay. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who founded this Krishna consciousness movement, advocated giving. He said that the essence of life is in giving to others. And even recent... Come on, give him a hand. Hey, unless you're a first-time guest, he might accommodate you here with the bag. A recent survey showed amongst college students who were asked, would you rather give or receive? It's Christmas time, people are giving gifts and receiving gifts, and what do you think they said? What's better? What feels better? Huh?
Is that
a second phone? Okay. Well, who's going to enforce our new rule? Well, first of all, I have to ask your consent. Does everyone agree that if your phone goes off, you'll take a bag of books?
Yes, sure.
It's $40, it's not a big deal. I have my phone on, I'm brave. I hope no one knows my number. Okay, you got your hand up. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advocated this, that when you give, then you become more complete, more whole. And he gave out the transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness everywhere so everyone could take advantage. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he and his associates were like gardeners. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like a tree. And the fruits from that tree were love of God. And they distributed those fruits because there are too many for the for just themselves to eat. And then the more they gave it out, and the more they tasted it themselves, the more it increased. So, these are some of the fundamental principles of happiness. Remembering Krishna, we named that. Being a servant, and giving. And there's scientific knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita which explains that when I become covered, like covered by a cloud, like when it's a cloudy day, the sun is still shining. You know that if you go up in an airplane. But my vision of the rays of the sun is blocked. So when I come under the influence of Maya, that which is not, the external energy of the Lord, and that just means seeing something not in relationship to Krishna, then I have a hard time experiencing happiness. And I become covered by one of three modes of nature: goodness, passion, or ignorance. And Krishna tells about what the experience of happiness in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness is like. And for example, in the mode of ignorance, actually, there is no happiness. It's misery from beginning to end. But whatever it is I'm doing, I can't stop doing it. And misery or happiness, pardon me, in the mode of passion, begins as a pleasurable experience, and in the end it is miserable, poison. So it's happiness or nectar in the beginning, and it's poison in the end. Does that sound familiar? Or is it just me? So, happiness in the mode of goodness, what's that like? It's like poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. What a scientific truth to understand how things are working in this world. And rising above the modes of material nature altogether. How do we do that, and what is the experience? The first experience of advancement in spiritual life is happiness, joy, and described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogitam bhagavad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. When one's mind is unaffected by these three modes of material nature, naturally one feels happy. Evam prasanna manaso. The mind becomes just joyful for no reason. No apparent reason. You don't need a reason. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Narayana paraksarvena kutashchana vidyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apituliana darshana. That for a person who has achieved this kind of spiritual happiness, he or she doesn't care whether he's in heaven or hell, because for a person who is free from the modes of material nature, he's not dependent on external circumstances to become happy. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yom tak sukho tararamas tatantar jyotir evaya sayodi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto vikashchiti. That one whose happiness is within, who is active within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. And that person attains real happiness in the Supreme. So, someone who has this happiness based on inner life isn't dependent on external circumstances. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparshas vikonteya chitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tamsti kshashvaparata. That there'll be heat and cold, and we have to tolerate those things because they come and go. And as we do, we'll realize that we're not dependent on those things. We go on doing our service, in devotional service. As I mentioned, service is the method for coming to happiness, and it's also the method for coming above the modes of material nature. Mamsha yoga vicharina bhakti yogena sevate sadunan samitita prama bhuya yakalpate. Krishna says in the Gita that One who is constantly engaged in devotional service rises above the three modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. And I'm giving a lot of verses now because it's fun, but there's another verse that describes the spiritual platform. And it's good to know because we should have this goal to come to the spiritual platform because we all want to be happy, right? So, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kamchati Samasareshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. This is a description of the spiritual platform. And Krishna says that there's no hankering and no lamentation. That's no worrying. Does anybody here ever worry? Yeah? Okay. So no worrying. Because worrying is a product of the mind. I worry about what might happen in the future. It's not happening right now, but I've created in my mind a scenario. So ashochati, kamshati means hankering or lamenting. And a person who's experiencing spiritual happiness doesn't worry, doesn't hanker, doesn't need anything or want anything for himself. No apparent material desire. The shochiti nikamchiti, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, and such a person sees every living being equally. And this is also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, is the definition of a learned person. Vidya vinaya sampani brahmane yavi hastini shuni chayo shupaki cha pandita samadarshinas. A pandit, a learned person, is not somebody who knows the political scene and comes on CNN. Sometimes they're called pundits. We'll ask a political pundit. But an actually learned person is someone who sees that the same spirit is behind every person, every animal, every living entity. Is a spiritual part and parcel of God. And in that condition, Sri Shapanishad says, Yasmin Sarvani Bhutani Atmai Vadbhut Vijanataha Tatra Ko Mahakashoka Ekat Pamana Pashita. One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? One who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. So, samak sarveshu bhuteshu. This is a spiritual platform. One sees all living entities on this spiritual platform, and there's no anxiety. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin labhate param. So, no hankering, no lamentation. Sees all living entities equally and becomes joyful. Brahma-bhuta prasanna atma. It means you just feel happy, joyful all the time. This is a symptom of spiritual life. And this is the result of practicing Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious process is to hear about Krishna, to speak about Krishna, to do service to Krishna. And that's the simple instruction Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana pavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyas yutpayam atmana matparayana. Just always think of me. And manmana pavamat bhakto, become my devotee. Everybody's a devotee of someone. Madhbhakto madhyaji, worship me, namaskuru, and bow down to me. Simple instruction. When we bow down, we feel happy because that's our natural position, to bow down to God. I find that people everywhere want some leader. Like in countries, they're always hoping that they'll have a good leader, elect a good president or something. And they're looking to worship somebody, to have somebody to look towards. Natural. And Krishna is the perfect person. He's complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam, he's described in the Isha Upanishads, the completely perfect person. So if we just focus our attention on him, and think of him, and worship him, and bow down to him, then we'll become completely happy. And this is easily achieved, Lord Chaitanya said, in the Kali Yuga age, by chanting God's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That Hare Krishna chant just gets people going everywhere. And in Toronto recently, last weekend, we saw on several street corners where we went out to chant Hare Krishna and distribute these books to people, that one young woman, a college student, came along. She was from China. And she didn't know what the mantra was, but she just jumped in the kirtan, and she danced for an hour and a half without stopping. And she had some incredible moves in that kirtan I'd never seen before. And I'm going to show you one of them right now. May I?
Yeah.
You sure? All right. Oh, all right.
You sing Hare Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Did you like that? I drove up in the car because I was going from one spot to the next. We had three areas we had chalked out. It takes a lot of work to go out there. Just the planning takes a lot of work. It's not hard going out, it's just hard planning and moving out there because this world is called Durga. Durga means Durga Chitti, difficult to go. So it's hard to move troops. But the troops are happy once they go out and they chant outside. There's a feeling of freedom. And I'm finally out, I'm doing this, what Lord Chaitanya likes, and it's such a nice service that everyone feels joyful. You can't be unhappy if you're outside chanting and singing Hare Krishna. Practically impossible. You have to try really hard. And other people pick up on the Hare Krishna chant. So she picked up on the Hare Krishna chant, and she said, there's something that's just irresistible about the chant. No one knows what it is, but it's irresistible. There's something in that name, Hare Krishna, isn't it? Everyone say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Isn't there something in that name? Isn't that why we're all here? It's like, what is that? Want to find out more? So if you go outside and you chant Hare Krishna and you make a musical production, then people come along and they start doing this. And when I saw her on the street corner doing that, I thought, of course you'd do that. What else would you do? You're a soul. You're part and parcel of Krishna from the spiritual world. And when you hear that Hare Krishna chant, you just go crazy. It drives people crazy. And Lord Chaitanya went crazy when he got the mantra from the spiritual master, Srila Ishvara Puri. Said, here's your mantra, go chant. And he came back to his guru after a while and he said, what kind of mantra did you give me? It's driven me crazy. I'm crying and laughing and falling on the ground like a mad person. And I think it's covered all my Vedic knowledge. And his spiritual master, Srila Ishvara Puri, said, this is very good. I'm very pleased. So you've achieved the perfection of life. And he gave him a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the essence of all the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam priyasparta namulti. Evam rata sva. I'm sorry, but mantra's not coming right now. It'll come back. Evam rata nama. You have it? Yeah. Jatanura gochita chuta uche asatyato rautiti lauti kareti unmaravan rititi lokabaya. Thank you. You're lucky to have a pundit in the audience. Evamvratasva priyanamakirtya. So it says, Evamvratasva priyanamakirtya. When you chant the Hare Krishna chant, what happens is the name of God, which is non-different from God, it gets in you and it melts your heart, changes your heart. God does that. And he's present in his name. That's our whole philosophy. It's about the holy name. So when you chant the holy name, and you do that with a vow, then gradually your heart will melt, and you'll go crazy. And you'll start dancing in public. And nobody can stop you. Even the police come. They'll chant in jail. In Cleveland, Ohio, the devotees used to get arrested all the time. And you know what they did? They chanted in jail. You're in the jail cell. Hare Krishna. So, the Hare Krishna chant. And then, again, it happened again. We went to the Dufferin Mall. And at the Dufferin Mall, a huge mall, ready for Christmas. It's stocked full of all the stuff you need. Diapers and, dental floss. All the stuff that makes you happy. Hammers and nails. You gotta have that stuff to be happy in life. And, you know, everyone's rushing in there to buy stuff that they're gonna throw away in a couple weeks after Christmas. And they're looking for a little relief. And so the Hare Krishna chant's going on in the corner. And I drive up again. Lightning strikes twice. Young woman. I heard the story later, but I saw half of it for myself. There she was, in the chanting party with a cigarette in one hand and the mantra card on the other, so obviously it was the first time. But she's dancing with the cigarette and the mantra card like this, really intensely chanting the mantra with a cigarette. And after a while, she really took off and the cigarette went flying. And I thought, yes, I'm going to do it again. There you go. That's how you do it. So once she started chanting, the joy came in, Krishna came in, and the cigarette went flying. Because what's a cigarette, anyway? Prabhupada said, breathing hot fire. They call it cool. Cool cigarette, breathing hot fire. Singe the lungs. Yum, yum, very nice. How pleasant. Let's make big factories and sell it to everybody. Won't that make the world a better place? So the Hare Krishna chant, it just makes you want to throw away all that junk. And you forget yourself. Or actually, you remember yourself. More like it. And when you remember yourself, that you're just a part and parcel of Krishna, you're not the controller. That's a big relief, isn't it? I was thinking that the other day. I was in so much anxiety about some of my service back home, and how am I going to deal with this and that. And then I remembered a verse from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that I am the maintainer of everything. Sarvasya Dhataya. I remember that verse because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, here's another way to remember me. He tells so many ways in the Bhagavad Gita to remember him. And one of them, he says, Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anuradiyam Sam Anishmadityaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varam Tamasaparastat. So one of the ways that he mentions in this litany of ways that you can remember Krishna is the Sarvasya Dhakaram. Now let me tell you what that means and then you won't have any anxiety. Do you have any anxiety now? You got a little okay. This might help. He says, I'm the maintainer of everything. Does that help or were you distracted? You were distracted, I can tell. I'm going to say it again. Krishna says, listen carefully, I am the maintainer of everything. What is the definition of everything? Just give me a rough estimation of what everything is. Everything. All possibilities. We have a mathematician here. It sounds like algebra. All possibilities are covered. That means everything in your life, your breathing process, your digestion, the way you see, you don't have any control over your sight right now. You just look over and you see, right? And digestion, do you think about it? Are you worried tonight about how your digestion is going to take place? Huh? It just goes. Krishna maintains it. Everything's maintained by Krishna. Now when I thought of that, I was relieved. Very happy. Whew. Krishna's the maintainer of everything. So there it is. It's a simple thing. It's universal. And the Hare Krishna chant, it's the greatest jewel. It's magical. No one knows exactly what it is. Great sages, they write about it, they think about it. Some of them sit for hours and they just chant. All the devotees here, mostly, they sit and chant and try to hear that Hare Krishna chant. And what's in it? Some mysterious sound coming out of that. Sometimes it comes at you like a freight train. Sometimes it makes you cry. Sometimes it makes you happy and sing. And what's in the Hare Krishna chant? That's what we all want to know here, right? So we're trying to find that out. And the more you give the Hare Krishna chant to other people, the more it grows in your own life. I've experienced this for myself. Just yesterday, where were we? Where did we go? Silver Springs. Nicest people in the world in Silver Springs. And whenever I've been around the world, I'm wondering where all the nice people went. They're in Silver Springs. Yes, they are, I'll tell you. Every single one of them, there's nice people over there, and they were just waiting for us to come over and talk to them. And we met them, and we showed them what we have, and they loved it. They loved it. And so we were teaching the Hare Krishna chant to people. We say, why don't you try this chant? And there was this really sweet couple with a young child. They spoke Spanish and English, mostly Spanish. Gave us a Spanish language book called The Perfection of Yoga. And then I asked them if they'd like to learn the Hare Krishna chant. And they weren't sure what it was, but they tried their best. And the pronunciation, Hare Krishna, they were saying. But as they said it, the three of them, the whole family, I felt real happiness come over me that I was teaching this mantra to others. And because they were saying it for the first time, I was experiencing it again for the first time. Do you remember the first time you heard the Hare Krishna chant? Do you? Where were you, Shastrivar, when you first heard it?
Downtown Brooklyn.
And how'd you like it?
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Yes?
In my mom's, when I was in her womb.
In your mom's womb you heard it. Nice.
Yeah.
Anyone else? First time you heard it?
In my high school cafeteria.
High school cafeteria. I remember the first time I really heard it. I heard it once in my 8th grade class called Communications, and my teacher was a real bohemian, and he brought in a film of Allen Ginsberg, and he was chanting Hare Krishna on a harmonium, and I heard it there. But the time I really heard it, I was driving with my mother, and it was the song My Sweet Lord, and I heard Hare Krishna, and I related it to the Hare Krishnas I had seen, and I thought, this is amazing. Something's in this mantra. So we have the greatest jewel. This is the greatest gift we have. And it produces touchstone. It produces happiness. It brings us to the spiritual platform. All knowledge, everything's there in the Hare Krishna mantra. So, service makes us happy. Giving makes us happy. Chanting Hare Krishna makes us happy. Especially giving the chanting of Hare Krishna makes us happy. And then expands it in our own life. Did I miss anything? Thinking of Krishna makes us happy. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us hundreds of ways that we can think of Him and remember Him. So those are a few random remarks and comments for your consideration. And what time are we supposed to end? Oh, really? No. Okay. So, here's a plea that we would like to... How shall I put this? We have transcendental books. I've come from California. I'm from California, by the way. And visiting here. And with a mission. I have some motive. And that is to learn from all of you, have your association, and also to help with the momentum of the organization for the distribution, the organized distribution of spiritual knowledge. Because I find that devotees everywhere want to distribute as much transcendental knowledge as possible. They want to give this gift to other people, and it just requires a little organization, and then it really goes. And we can do a lot. One person can do a lot, but a lot of people together can really make a difference in the world. So, can I have one of these bags? I just want to see what's in it. Is this okay? May I show you this? Okay, this is an organized way of distributing books to thousands of people. And inside this bag, there's what we call a meditation kit. And this meditation kit contains a pamphlet that tells how to chant Hare Krishna. It explains it in very simple terms so that anybody can do it wherever they are. Did you see it? Then it has a set of japa beads. It goes along with the diagram in the manual. It has a book on yoga, Perfection of Yoga from the Bhagavad Gita. It has another book called Bhakti Yoga, The Art of Eternal Love, which is a summary of the nectar of devotion. And then it has a book called Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, and a magazine called Spirit Matters. These are very popular, all of these books. And these all together inside a bag constitute a meditation kit. So you can give this kit as a gift to anybody that you know. And they have everything completely in here to start their spiritual process. Now, The meditation kits are put in bigger bags. Can I see bigger bags? Here. And what do you call this?
A gold mine.
The gold mine. So inside there are a quantity of meditation kits. There's 20. So you can take one of these and give a donation for the whole bag, which is $40, right? And you can pass those out as gifts to whomever you like. And you can go in on it with friends if you like, and you can think of ways that you can distribute books to your friends and family. And anybody that you know, wherever you go. So we have many of these meditation kits on top of the table and underneath. And anyone who would like some of these or a partial bag, if you would kindly let us know. Let me know or let Loka know. Rupa Dyaksha Prabhu. Then we will give you a meditation kit. We have a goal. He asked me to assist in this, that we would distribute all of these bags today, and everyone can take them home. And everyone, each person can do a little bit. I'll take one bag. May I? Okay. So one bag's gone, and there's a few more left. And anybody who would like a bag, then you can just take one bag and go out and distribute it. This, by the way, will complete the goal for the Sankirtan team's Christmas Prabhupada Marathon to distribute how many books altogether? 7,000 books during the marathon. This is the last of the books. And if we do it tonight, we take some of these away, it will be already to our goal before Christmas strikes. That's my proposal. I just put it before you. Any question? Okay. Then I thank you very much. We've been here for a week, and it's a beautiful community of devotees. And please go on taking care of each other, chanting Hare Krishna, and giving it.